welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, talking about a road trip worth forgetting. SoCal, just erase it from your memories. A 1-6 road trip and a weekend 4-game set against the Padres that had some silver lining, but a lot more frustration. Rockies 2-11 now in the month of September. They've lost 15 of their last 18 games with a 9-6 loss on Sunday. 19 of their last 23 games have been losses since August 21st. 4-19. Keep in mind that before this really bad stretch of play began, the Rockies went 7-2 from August 12th through 20th. We're playing better in the second half overall, but that is entirely in the rearview mirror. They now sit at 109 losses, obviously the most since the White Sox. Obviously the most since the White Sox set the record last year with 121 losses. Before them, the A's lost 112 in 2023 with a team that was intentionally trying to be bad. Diamondbacks 110 and Orioles 110 in 2021. Rockies just the 10th team since the turn of the century to lose at least 109 games. And there's still 12 more games to go, two of which are against postseason contenders. Yeah, the Giants are now in this. Somehow they've managed. It's going to be very hard for them to get a win during the final week of the season in Seattle, in San Francisco. If they are going to avoid tying the all-time record for most losses in a season with the White Sox last year, they do need to win just one game over the next homestand. Of course, it's possible for them to win a game on the road at T-Mobile or Oracle Park, but it's much more likely that they can, I don't want to say steal a victory, but earn a victory against the Marlins or the Angels this week, starting on Tuesday. But once we get to 110 losses, that's now going to take two more teams of the nine that are currently on the board for having lost at least 109 since 1996. Then we got 111 can come off the table, 112, and we're looking at three teams with 114 or more losses: the 2019 Tigers, the 2018 Orioles, who lost 115, and then, of course, the White Sox from last year. Really uncharted territory. And this series could have been a stalemate. Rockies could have pulled a tie out, could have won two out of the four. Certainly didn't feel like they deserved it, especially with that awful start on Sunday. It had an interesting ending. A lot of you probably tuned out, and that is to be expected when Herman Marquez ends up giving up three runs in the first, three runs in the second, and he gets pulled in the third. So he is charged with six earned runs, seven runs total, gave up nine hits, did not strike out a batter, which is an awful trend. That start that he made a couple weeks ago at home, that was the first time he had ever started a game and not struck out a hitter. This is now his second time doing that. He's got a 6.65 ERA. It is his first full season back after Tommy John surgery. And I've said it before, I stand by it. I've spoken with some folks about Marquez and what the future might hold for him. First off, him coming back to the Rockies seems unlikely now. I really thought this could be something that the Rockies would consider, considering basically how poor their starting pitching depth is and how likely a rebound is for anyone after their first full year of Tommy John surgery. But it seems like it might be best for both parties to go their separate ways. But the thing I keep coming back to is Marquez is still so young. And yes, this arm injury has been a major setback for him, and he's still not past it. But I think in the right organization, it wouldn't surprise me. And maybe it's only a 50-50 shot, meaning 50% of the time he's going to fail. And maybe he only has a handful of seasons left in the majors. Maybe. But there's another 50% where I think he could still be pitching in this league for another 5-6 years. Might not be at an all-star level, but he could be a really solid contributor into his mid-30s. I think there's a possibility of that. So the Rockies get down 7-0 and they claw their way back, a solo home run from Mickey Moniak in the fourth, a three-run home run from Mickey Moniak in the sixth. So 4 runs for Moniak, 7 for the Padres. He ends up going 4-for-4 with 2 home runs, also steals 2 stolen bases. I said this over on social media. The Blake Street Bombers, I don't think they're remembered enough for being the Blake Street Steelers because they stole a lot of bases. And you had 30-30 seasons from Ellis Burks, Dante Bichette, Larry Walker. There were seasons where Andres Scalarraga got close to 20 bags and hit 40 home runs. So this was a team that could hit for power and steal bases. And yet Mickey Moniak is the first player in Rockies history with 4 hits in a game, 5 RBI, 2 stolen bases, and 2 home runs. In fact, throw out the 5 RBI. You don't even need that as a qualifier. Just 2 stolen bases, 2 homers, 4 base hits. Incredible stuff for him in his hometown ballpark. He grew up in the San Diego area. That was one of the other things from the article that I published on Just Baseball, The Chatter's Box, a series you can go back and check out. A ton of these from this past season, catching up with current and former Rockies players, some fun conversations. And one of the things I asked Mickey was, okay, you grew up in the San Diego area. You were a Chargers fan. You were a Padres fan. Did Matt Holliday touch home plate? You've got to read the article to find out what he had to say. But for him to have this game, career high 5 RBI, fantastic for him. The rest of the Rockies only mustered 4 hits. They struck out 13 times and had Jimmy Herga not allowed 2 runs in the bottom of the eighth. There was definite rally potential for the Rockies to steal a victory. Warren Schaefer got ejected for arguing balls and strikes, his second time getting tossed in a game this season. Instead, Mickey Moniak, a 1-2-3 ninth for Robert Suarez. Moniak left in the on-deck circle as the final out. So incredible stuff for him. And this weekend, you might have even seen a clip too that went somewhat viral. I also put that out. You might have seen it in other places, but I put it out on my feed at Patrick D. Lyons on X and Blue Sky of a slide where he was out by a mile on a stolen base and kind of went past the bag and snuck his foot in on the back half of the bag towards left field. Incredible. He was called out. Video replay ended up overturning that for Moniak. So really good for him to have a great weekend back home. Saturday, 11-3 loss. Bradley Blaylock not sharp. Got into a lot of two-strike situations, but just couldn't put hitters away, which was unfortunate. Warren Schaefer did say that in the post-game presser. So Blaylock, better than you might have last seen him against the Padres. He was on the hill for that 21-0 drubbing. He now has a 9 ERA this season, 1-5. Antonio Cinzetella comes in next, 3 innings, gives him a little length, does allow 4 earned runs, 6.84 ERA. Ryan Rolison, scoreless, 7th inning, no walks, strikes out 2, 6.98 ERA. And Angel Chivigi gives up 2 runs in the bottom of the 8th to inflate his ERA just a tiny bit. 7.08 ERA, rough stuff. Look, Padres, the guys that they used because it was a game that they were able to get such an early lead. Rockies did score 1 in the first there on Saturday, but it was 9-1 after the 4th inning. So this was a game where the Padres did not have to use their best relief pitchers. So even when you look at their pitchers' ERA this season, 4.59, 5.68, 4.50, 4.24, not great. But if that's your bottom tier, that's pretty darn good. It's still a good 2 runs better than what the Rockies were able to roll out on Saturday. And Bradley Blaylock made this start. We weren't sure who it was going to be, but Chase Dolander went on the 15-day IL to make room on the active roster for Blaylock. This effectively should end Chase Dolander's season because of this left patella tendon strain that he suffered. And I think there might be a sentiment, perhaps, by some Rockies fans to say the season might have been a disappointment for Dolander, but I don't think every fan feels that way. I think, yes, there's a lot of hype, and it's hard for guys to live up to a certain level of hype. And when you have a team that is in the basement like the Rockies and you're you're praying that somebody can save the organization. That's a lot of pressure. That's something that it was bad for John Gray. I think this kind of pressure might be even worse for Chase Dolander. So that being considered, and knowing that there were various pockets of really good stretches where Chase Dolander looked fantastic. Look at what he was able to do on the road as a starting pitcher. And you say, tell me the other 29 teams wouldn't love to have Chase Dolander in their rotation. The potential is obviously there. The potential is obviously there. So don't focus on his final ERA. Good first season for Chase Dolander. And still, when you consider what a lot of young starting pitchers have done for this organization or who have never even gotten the opportunity, that in and of itself is kind of special for Chase Dolander. You also have Tyler Freeman, who had two doubles in the game on Saturday. And as I said, Ionel Chivigy gives up two runs. But interesting note, Evan Lang, I saw this on Sunday. So I actually caught this after, a day after, that Luis Arraez struck out against Ionel Chivigy on seven pitches in the bottom of the eighth. And I hadn't noticed that. Evan Lang, give him a follow. He does an amazing job. Hardcore fan, great writer over on Purple Row. They also do the Affected by Altitude podcast with Skylar Timmons. Recommend you go check them out. And today's Monday, they drop their episodes on Monday. So give that a listen. Evan also pointing out it took 140 plate appearances for the Rockies to finally strike him out. I decided to go a little bit further, do some digging. Rockies are actually the last team in Major League Baseball to never strike out Luis Arraez. How about that? That also means Arraez has never struck out at Coors Field. He's played 11 games in Denver, zero strikeouts. This is also true, though, of Citi Field for the Mets, Minute Maid, formerly Minute Maid Park, Daikin Park in Houston for the Astros and the Pirates and PNC Park. Clearly, Arraez has not been in the starting lineup against Paul Skeens just yet. Arraez has only struck out 214 times in seven big league seasons. Let me say that again. Luis Arraez has only struck out a total of 214 times in seven seasons, or nearly as many times as Ezekiel Tovar struck out just last season alone, or three-fifths less than. So three-fifths of the amount of times Michael Tolia has struck out in Tolia's 280 career big league games. If you were watching the game on TV on Sunday, like I was, Warren Schaefer talked a lot about the kinds of hitters he would love to see in the Rockies lineup, making more contact, embracing that. Power's nice, but putting the ball in play, putting pressure on the defense is certainly a strategy for a team that plays in a ballpark with the largest outfield in the National League. So you put the ball in play, more things are going to happen when you don't. And when you're waiting around for that three-run home run, like Earl Weaver used to say in the 70s with the Baltimore Orioles. And guess what? The Rockies don't have that kind of thump right now in their lineup to wait around for that three-run home run. So they do need to be making a lot of contact. And in thinking about Luis Arraez here in this weekend series and knowing what Schaefer said in the pregame presser, that perhaps Luis Arraez is that prototypical hitter Warren Schaefer would love to see on the Rockies. Could I see Colorado making a move for a player like this? Maybe. Does Luis Arraez want to come to Colorado and play for the Rockies? He certainly could, certainly if the price is right. Now, Arraez, because he doesn't hit a ton of homers, has not gotten a lot of money in arbitration. This year, it was $14 million. Last year, $10.6 million. So for a guy that, you know, is well known around baseball, does not have a typical skill set where there's a ton of value on it. And in 2022 and 23, his first 2 years as an all-star was worth nearly nine wins above replacement. 2021, same thing. But ever since he started playing some first base, because he's not a great defender, and ever since he started DHing, where a lot of designated hitters have power, that has sapped his value in terms of wins above replacement. So if you're cool with a guy batting 300, putting the ball in play, not striking out a ton, but also not stealing a ton, and also not hitting for power. Okay, you can pay a guy like that, but I think that's going to hurt his market just a little bit. And it honestly wouldn't shock me. The price could be right for Luis Arraez. He's from Venezuela. So I think he would fit in well. The Rockies do have a really strong history of players, really good players from Venezuela. And I could see something like that happen where it doesn't totally break the bank for the Rockies. Rockies payroll is down, is going to be down big time next year, I think. And no, I know, but I think it's going to stay big time down. Look, if you can get Luis Arraez for $15 million a year and wait out the Chris Bryant contract, you know, maybe you've got something there, but now you're clogging up your DH spot. Maybe you're not clogging up first base quite as much since it's still not clear what the situation is at first base. I could see something like that happening. We'll see if Warren Schaefer gets his wish, assuming that's what he was wishing for. And I don't truly think that's what he was insinuating. Purely coincidental, but I do have to speculate just a little bit. And hey, I don't think I need to speculate how nice it was for the Rockies to finally get a win on Friday, a 4-2 win. Rockies 41st of the season, which ensures they will not lose 122 games. 121 is still on the table. This is the first time. So the Rockies won on Friday. They also scored a run, finally. It was their first time in franchise history that they had gone four straight shutout losses in a single ballpark because, yeah, on Thursday, the first game of the four-game set, they did lose 2-0. They had a scoreless streak in San Diego of 41 consecutive innings. Rockies became the first big league club to be shut out in four straight at a ballpark since the 2010 Phillies were blanked at Citi Field in New York. And that first run came off the bat of Blaine Crim. That's right. Blaine Crim, or as my good buddy Kevin Henry calls him, the Crim Reaper. I don't know if he actually calls him that, but in our fun back and forth texting, he did say Crim Reaper. Thought that was worth sticking. Coincidentally, was talking to my dad about Blaine Crim on Thursday night because Michael Tolia, I believe, had another four strikeout game on Thursday. And he was curious about what some of the AAA options were down there. I said, well, there is Blaine Crim. He's been playing well. And sure enough, ahead of Friday's game, Crim was promoted. Michael Tolia sent down another message that this team definitely understands that Michael Tolia needs to make a lot of changes if he wants to stick around this organization or if he wants to stick around the majors. I don't know what's going to happen this offseason. I don't think the roster crunch is going to be huge. There's a lot of guys that do need to be added to the 40-man roster ahead of the Rule 5 draft, but I don't know that it needs to include removing Michael Tolia off this 40-man roster and designating him for assignment. It also wouldn't surprise me if something like that did happen. So Blaine Crim, the 28-year-old rookie who made his debut earlier this year, I did mention it when he was picked up off of waivers on August 3rd from the Texas Rangers. Talked about him a little bit, you know, having a good year in the Pacific Coast League, but he is a 28-year-old first baseman, kind of the epitome of what a replacement player is like. But he hit right away, second at bat, gets his first hit as a big leaguer. No, he does one better. He hits his first home run as a big leaguer, becoming the first Rocky to hit a homer in his first game since Coco Montes did so back in June of 2023. Also became the 13th Rocky to homer for their first big league hit, first since Braxton Fulford did so earlier this year on April 20th against Washington. And then right after that, after Crim's home run, Kyle Farmer hit a dinger, back-to-back homers. Farmer's eighth of the season. It made me think, if any two Rockies have ever gone back-to-back with less home runs in a season for this team, eight for Farmer, now one for Crim. You have to look it up. I should maybe look that up. That's an obscure fun fact. But that's kind of a rare run. Rare one that nobody really would have predicted. Crim also had a 2 RBI double on Saturday in his second game in the majors, giving him 5 RBI over his first two games. First to do that since Trevor Story. Also, as a rookie, a much younger rookie, in his first two games, Mark Ellis also did that on July 1st through 2nd, 2011. In that game on Friday, no surprise that it was a Tanner Gordon start. He was great again. 6 innings pitched, only allowed 1 run. He looked really good again. And it was against JP Sears, who does not have a Cy Young Award yet, but I guess he's going to. He's going to get votes at some point soon because Tanner Gordon only beats aces. And frankly, early on in that game, J.P. Sears looked ridiculous. I think he had 7 strikeouts at one point through the first 4 innings to already tie a career high. He, since coming over from the A's, has not been striking a lot of hitters out. And yet he was dicing up the Rockies. 6 strikeouts through the first 3 innings, 3 of which were looking. He looked ridiculous, but Gordon gets the job done. Blaine Crim coming through. Jordan Beck also a 2-hit game, which was big. And then Orlando Arcia got the start at second base. 3 for 4, didn't score, didn't get an RBI, but at least did a good job setting the table there a little bit for the top of the lineup. So that was the one win from this homestand and from this road trip. But again, credit to Tanner Gordon, 2nd straight quality start on the road, his 6th quality start overall of the season that broke a tie with him and Marquez. So he now has the 2nd most quality starts on the club. Kyle Freeland first with 11. Rocky starters have posted a quality start in 4 of their last road games after that start on Friday. So good on the road, not so good at home. And again, 2-0 loss on Thursday. Broncos lost on a walk-off last second field goal against the Colts in Indianapolis. So that does mean the Rockies do maintain a 1-win lead over the Broncos this month. 2 wins for Colorado, 1 win for the Broncos. Should also mention the Brewers clinch a postseason berth with their 90th win on Saturday. Impressive what that organization has done. A small market team in the smallest television market in all of baseball, and doing it with the 21st largest payroll. Unbelievable. Rockies, 20th largest payroll. They've taken a dip in a real major way. But when you invest in the front office and you make the right moves that are best for your organization, and you invest in analytics, these kind of things can really happen. And if the Rockies would like to be similar to the Brewers, who get it done despite a shoestring budget, or the Cleveland Guardians, who win a lot despite a shoestring budget, and the Tampa Bay Rays, who win a lot despite a shoestring budget. There are teams out there that get that done, that are consistent, that can win by thinking outside the box. And if the Rockies really would like to be a winning organization, they need to think outside the box, because they've put themselves in a box. You hear them say it time and time again, we can't do this, we can't do that. They're the only ones saying that. And if you want to turn this franchise around, you're going to have to do things differently. It was really cool too that in the locker room after the Brewers clinched, Pat Murphy read a note from beyond the grave, who Bob Uecker passed away this offseason. He wrote a note saying, "Hey, boys, I knew you would get this done. You know, I've got a good team up here in heaven." And it was really cool. Check that video out if you get a chance. There were dry eyes somehow. I was waiting for Murph to break down just a little bit there, but bigger fish to fry there. And again, credit to the Brewers and everything that they've been able to do for the last decade or so, and doing it creatively. There are teams out there that are able to do that. And to not really try to do that, I think, is really...
This holiday season, give the gift that everyone actually wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. From USDA-certified very tender filet mignons and perfectly aged ribeyes to juicy burgers and gourmet sides and desserts that make every meal unforgettable, Omaha Steaks brings steakhouse quality flavor straight to your doorstep. Whether you're gifting family across the country or filling your own freezer, every box arrives perfectly packaged and guaranteed to impress. Because nothing says I love you most like a gift of Omaha Steaks. Skip the malls and the guessing. Go to OmahaSteaks.com right now. That's OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, this deal won't last. Omaha Steaks, delivering joy since 1917. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
A major disservice to a fan base. It really, really is. Appreciate you dropping by. Do want to mention, too, tentative, but I'm feeling good. We're going to get this done. I don't have a time even set for it yet. But by the time you're listening to this, you may want to jump over to the YouTube page as I will be talking with Griffin Herring, one of the new top pitching prospects for the Colorado Rockies. He came over in a trade at the deadline for Ryan McMahon. So you've probably heard that name before. He was really good with High A Spokane. He was fantastic with Tampa in the Florida League for the Yankees in Low A. And he came over and he was great. So move over Sean Sullivan, who has been great at Double A, but Griffin Herring, the highest ranked left-handed starting pitcher. And really looking forward to talking with him, seeing what the differences are between playing baseball on the East Coast versus the West Coast, what it's like now. He's actually down at the team's facility down in Scottsdale at Salt River Fields. And there's a lot for us to talk about. And that will be live over on the Rockies Insider YouTube channel. So you get the first insight on that. And ask away. Put a question in the chat of any video. Just click on any video, leave a comment, and I will see that. That's not a problem. I get that. Your comment, it doesn't get buried. I see immediately who commented, and it doesn't matter on how old the video is. I will respond to you. That is the Patrick Lyons guarantee. Also guarantee some awesome content over on the social medias at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on X and Blue Sky. Appreciate you dropping by. Hope you drop by for the live show tomorrow afternoon with Griffin Herring. Appreciate the momentum, but as I like to say, momentum, it's only as good as my next show. So of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.